Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is April 9, 2021. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about gaming company The Nine to buy 2,000 Bitcoin mining machines for about $6.72 million in stock. BlockApp opens Texas HQ, plans to put 32,000 new ASICs online over the year. XRP's price can go boatload higher, veteran analyst Peter Brandt. Bitcoin miners are again stacking coins in a positive sign for the market. CipherTrace wants to introduce DEXs to sanctions compliance. Ukrainian officials backtrack on crypto wealth claims as Feds promise probe. Report. No stimmy rally. Why the $1,400 checks brought so little Bitcoin stimulus. How a dual double entry blockchain could unite digital and physical assets. Now let's get started. Gaming company The Nine to buy 2,000 Bitcoin mining machines for about $6.72 million in stock. The company also completed the signing of definitive agreements for 12,246 units of Bitcoin mining machines with a total hash rate of 288 PH/s. Publicly traded Chinese gaming company The Nine, NCTY, said Friday it agreed to buy 2,000 units of Avalon Miners Bitcoin, BTC, plus 0.41% mining machines for about $6.72 million in stock. In an announcement, The Nine said it signed a memorandum of understanding to buy the machines with a total hash rate of about 100 PH/s. To pay for the machines, The Nine said it will issue 8.12 million ordinary shares, equivalent to 270,913 American depositary shares, ADS, based on the company's share price of $24.81 prior to signing the MO. The deal is valued at $6.72 million. The Nine also said it completed the signing of definitive agreements for 12,246 units of Bitcoin mining machines with a total hash rate of 288 PH/s. Under the terms of these deals, The Nine will issue 9,387,840 Class A ordinary shares, equivalent to 312,928 ADS, to the sellers, with a lockup period of 6 months. If the same ADS price as the earlier agreements were used, these pacts would be valued in total at about $7.76 million. As reported by CoinDesk, Bitcoin's hash rate, which is a way to measure the total power consumption and mining output of the network, has topped a new all-time high as mining firms like The Nine continue to add more hash power. The Nine's ADS was down a little more than 4% in recent trading to $27.21. BlockApp opens Texas HQ, plans to put 32,000 new ASICs online over the year. Texas is quickly becoming a major hub for American mining. U.S. Bitcoin, BTC, plus 0.58%, mining company BlockApp has established a headquarters in Austin, Texas, and anticipates bringing 32,000 new mining machines online over the next year, the firm revealed exclusively to CoinDesk. BlockApp, which just completed a $38 million raise, says it currently mines roughly 6 BTC a day using 10,000 machines. With its expansion, BlockApp plans to grow its hash rate, a measure of the company's mining power, to 3.5 exahashes per second. We're happy to be in Texas. It's a friendly, pro-business environment, with a highly skilled workforce, especially in the tech industry. We were looking for a place with high saturation of professionals in the blockchain space and the financial products space, and it really helps to see other amazing companies moving into the region as well, BlockApp founder and chairman Darren Feinstein told CoinDesk. He mentioned as one example Tesla, the electric vehicle manufacturer whose founder, Elon Musk, is a newly minted Bitcoin bull. Tesla now accepts Bitcoin for payment, and whose developers have actually helped work on open-source Bitcoin wallet software. The news comes at a time when mining operations in Texas are expanding at a rapid clip. Colorado-based miner Riot Blockchain recently purchased a mining facility from German mining company Northern Data. London miner Argo recently set up shop in Texas. Companies including Upstream Data and Great American Mining outfit oil and gas producers with the tools to turn otherwise flared or vented gas into hash rate. Rick Perry, the former state governor as well as U.S. Energy Secretary, enthused in BlockCap's press release, the move is yet more evidence that we have become the premier location for forward-looking industries like blockchain. XRP's price can go boatload higher. Veteran analyst Peter Brandt. XRP has rallied by over 50% so far this week, for a market value of $37 billion. A rally in the XRP token rally may have just started, and new all-time highs could be seen for the cryptocurrency in the coming months, says Peter Brandt, an analyst with over four decades of experience tracking commodity markets. Brandt identified a pattern in XRP's weekly price chart that he described as a possible inverted head and shoulders with a stunted right shoulder. XRP has quadrupled this year in price and recently climbed above $1 for the first time since 2018, for a $37 billion market capitalization. The pattern would indicate prices a boatload higher to new all-time highs, Brandt, CEO of Factor LLC, tweeted Friday. Inverted head and shoulders patterns comprise three price troughs, with the middle one being the lowest, and a trendline connecting the high points of the two retracements. A breakout or bullish reversal is confirmed once an asset establishes a firm foothold above the neckline hurdle. While XRP has already flipped the neckline hurdle of 75 cents into support, a weekly close above, Sunday, 23:59 Coordinated Universal Time, is still needed to confirm the breakout. That would open the doors for a rally to $3.30, the all-time high hit on January 4, 2018, according to data source Messari. Technical analysis is subjective because there is an art to the science involved in identifying patterns. Hence, sometimes analysts differ on the validity of patterns or interpret similar-looking price structures differently. According to Katie Stockton, a technical analyst at Fairlead Strategies, the price structure seen on the weekly chart is not a textbook inverted head and shoulders formation. It does not meet my qualifier of having just three major oversold lows throughout the formation of the pattern, Stockton said in an email. There is such a thing as a complex head and shoulders, but I think more accurately this can be labeled as a rounded base. For an inverted head and shoulders pattern to be valid per Stockton, the three troughs need to be accompanied by an oversold reading on an overbought, oversold indicator such as the Relative Strength Index, RSI. Brandt and Katie differ on semantics but agree on the interpretation. The takeaway is similarly bullish given the breakout above long-term resistance, Stockton said, adding that XRP has already achieved the upside price targets. XRP is currently trading at $1.003, representing a 58% gain for the week, the most since the final week of January, according to CoinDesk 20 data. The coin is enjoying the madness of the crowd, Brandt noted. The rally may have received a boost from New York Judge Sarah Nett Burns' recent decision to grant Ripple access to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's, SEC, internal communications on how it determines whether a cryptocurrency is security. In December, the SEC sued Ripple, CEO Brad Garlinghouse and Executive Chairman Chris Larson for unlawful selling of $1.3 billion worth of XRP to the general public. Bitcoin miners are again stacking coins in a positive sign for the market. Miners may be holding in anticipation of a price rally, one analyst said. Blockchain data shows Bitcoin, BTC, plus 0.71%, miners are accumulating coins and adding to bullish pressures in the market for the first time since December. Analytics firm Glassnode's miner position change metric, which gauges the 30-day change in the supply held in the miners' addresses, recently turned positive in a sign of renewed holding by those responsible for making coins. The balance held in miner wallets has increased by 4,435 BTC to 1.806 million over the past 2 weeks, Glassnode's data shows. Miners, now, have a net accumulation of liquid assets as they have enough cash in reserve to run their future operations, having liquidated holdings when the Bitcoin price was between $20,000 and $40,000, or most of them are holding in anticipation of a price rally, Flex Young, CEO of Hong Kong-based Babel Finance, said in an email. Miners predominantly operate on cash and liquidate holdings to meet expenses. However, the pace of miner selling varies from time to time depending on mining-specific factors and Bitcoin's price expectations. The return to accumulation mode observed since March 31 comes after almost 4 months of largely negative readings, miners decreasing positions and taking profits. Peak distribution of roughly 17,000 BTC to 24,000 BTC was seen throughout January, according to Glassnode's weekly newsletter, dated March 8. While miner flows constitute a small part of the total network volume, as tweeted by Glassnode's CEO Raphael Schultz-Kraft, accumulation by miners is analogous to increased promoter holding of corporate stock and is considered a positive indicator. Their spending patterns provide insight into the sentiment of some of the biggest bulls in the Bitcoin market, Glassnode said in a newsletter published on April 5. Whales, or large investors with the ability to influence prices, have also stopped selling coins. The number of whale entities clusters of crypto wallet addresses held by a single network participant holding at least 1,000 Bitcoin has steadied above 2,000 since March 31. The figure dropped from 2,230 to 2,004 in nearly 2 months to March 31, mainly due to quarter-end rebalancing, according to blockchain analyst Willy Wu. It remains to be seen if these positive on-chain developments fuel the next leg higher in the cryptocurrency. While Bitcoin is currently trading moderately higher on the day near $58,500, it remains trapped in a narrowing price range. A breakout would mark a continuation of the broader uptrend typically experienced in the seasonally strong month of April. CipherTrace wants to introduce DEXs to sanctions compliance. The new tool uses an oracle on Chainlink to spot crypto wallet addresses on government watchlists. Crypto analytics firm CipherTrace is adding to its list of regulatory compliance tools with a new sanctions-friendly address tracker for decentralized exchanges, DEXs. Announced Friday, the new DeFi Complete tool creates an oracle on Chainlink that details crypto wallet addresses on government watchlists, such as the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, sanctions list. DEXs or other decentralized smart contracts could tap these lists and prevent transactions from touching sanctioned addresses. What we've seen in the U.S. at least is really a focus on sanctions, said John Jefferies, chief financial analyst and marketing officer for CipherTrace. That's the angle regulators are most concerned about right now and one of the things that has crept into the latest Financial Action Task Force draft guidance was proliferation financing. A handful of cryptocurrency addresses are already on OFAC's sanctions list, allegedly tied to cyber criminals, theft, drug smugglers, and election interference. A press release announcing the new tool claimed implementing some form of crypto crime monitoring in decentralized finance, DeFi, is timely. The increasing amount of value locked in DeFi, currently some $51.4 billion, according to DeFi Pulse, presents an even bigger target for malicious actors, CipherTrace CEO Dave Jeevan said in a statement. More specifically, decentralized products that facilitate traditional financial activities like lending still fall within existing regulations, CipherTrace said, pointing to a 2020 speech by Securities and Exchange Commission digital asset head Valerie Shapanik. The regulatory crypto czar warned at the Chamber of Digital Commerce's 2020 Parallel Summit that securities, banking, lending and anti-money laundering, AML, laws all apply to these financial activities. Regulating DeFi. The latest in a set of Know Your Customer, KYC, and anti-money laundering, AML, products launched by CipherTrace, The new DeFi Complete is fairly simple. Cypher Trace runs its own Chainlink node, and has set up an oracle it can update that contains a list of sanctioned addresses or funds. Developers of DEXs or other DeFi smart contracts can set up an API call to the oracle, creating a function on their platforms that would prevent sanctioned addresses from sending funds through the DEX or contract, and similarly prevent users from sending funds to the sanctioned addresses. Right now we're really looking at screening the addresses, not the individuals, so from their perspective they would on-ramp onto the DEX from their wallet, maybe from their MetaMask, and the DEX itself would ping the compliance oracle and say, is this an OFAC sanctioned address, Jeffrey said. From the user perspective, unless it is an OFAC sanctioned address, it would be transparent and frictionless. Jeffrey said he hopes to expand the service as it evolves. While it's only looking at specifically sanctioned sources at the moment, a future iteration could evaluate whether the source of funds is otherwise linked to illicit activity. In his view, the crypto sector, including decentralized platforms that aspire to be stateless, must comply with regulations voluntarily or risk being shut down forcefully. DEXs are virtual asset service providers, Jeffrey said, referring to the term the Financial Action Task Force uses in its guidance around crypto exchange regulation. If the crypto sector can prove that DEXs can still comply with existing regulations, entities like FATF may focus less on carving out specific rules for developers or projects. Like it or not, the whole decentralized community needs to address this. Otherwise, the regulations are going to come down in full force and the ripple effect might hit the rest of the decentralized world, he said. Ukrainian officials backtrack on crypto wealth claims as Fed's promise probe. Report. Ukrainian public officials now say they actually don't own billions in crypto after the anti-corruption agency weighed in. Ukrainian public officials who reported eye-popping numbers of Bitcoin, BTC, plus 0.38%, in their property declarations might be having some regrets after the nation's anti-corruption agency said it would weigh in. As CoinDesk reported earlier this week, 652 public officials in Ukraine reported owning 46,351 Bitcoin, BTC, worth around US$2.67 billion at the recent price, in their obligatory property declaration. The numbers raised eyebrows, especially when it came to individual declarations. For example, Vyacheslav Mishilov, a member of the Dnipro City Council, reported owning 18,000 Bitcoin. Petro Lensky, first secretary of Ukraine's embassy in Vietnam, said he had 6,528 BTC, and Alexander Urbanski, deputy chairman of the Odessa Regional Council, reported holding 5,328 BTC. It turned out, however, those numbers should be taken with a pinch of salt. On Friday, Mishilov said he made a mistake and skipped the line with crypto in his declaration and actually he doesn't have that much BTC. That admission came right after Ukraine's anti-corruption authorities took notice of the whopping numbers declared by public officials. Following the report by the data analytics project Open.Tabit on Thursday, the head of the Office of Mandatory Full Inspections at the National Agency for the Prevention of Corruption, NAPC, said on his Facebook page that the agency will look into the reported holdings. When checking the declaration, we will see whether the declarant really owns the specified number of crypto tokens, whether the money for its purchase was really transferred and whether the declarant can explain the origin of the money spent on the purchase of tokens, NAPC's Sergei Petikov wrote. He added that filing a false declaration might lead to a criminal investigation. The next day, Mishilov told a Ukrainian TV channel he actually doesn't own that much Bitcoin, although he does have some. I do have some Bitcoin, quite a lot actually, but of course not that much, Mishilov said. I was amending my previous declaration and didn't update that line. I wrote a letter to NAPC and you will soon see the updated declaration. Another self-declared crypto whale, Alexander Urbanski, told the journalists he bought Bitcoin in 2009 at the price of $1. Alex Borniakov, the deputy minister for digital transformation of Ukraine, said public officials in Ukraine might be claiming to own large amounts of cryptocurrencies as a plausible explanation of ill-gotten income. Michael Chobanyan, founder of the Ukrainian crypto exchange Kuna, told CoinDesk crypto is often used to explain why a civil servant happens to own a lot of money he or she couldn't have possibly gained in a legal manner. Previously, they would declare royalties from books. Now they might simply say they sold some crypto and here's how they could buy that villa in Italy, Chobanyan said. He added that, in practice, nobody would check such claims so they often might be outright false. He believes 99.9% of the crypto-Ukrainian public officials declared this year are bogus numbers. Some do hold crypto, but not that much, he added. No stimmy rally. Why the $1,400 checks brought so little Bitcoin stimulus? Slowing Bitcoin volume suggests retail traders are less active with their stimmy checks compared to 2020. U.S. cryptocurrency exchanges say they've begun to see an uptick in customers buying Bitcoin, BTC, or other digital tokens with their $1,400 stimulus checks from President Joe Biden's latest coronavirus relief and economic recovery plan. But in the Bitcoin market, the episode has proven to be a disappointment to some traders who were speculating last month that a new wave of demand might help push prices to fresh highs. It would be very difficult to get a full picture of how that money moved from Uncle Sam into Bitcoin, said Mahdi Greenspan, founder of Quantum Economics, a market analysis firm based in Tel Aviv, during an interview with CoinDesk. Biden signed the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill into law on March 11, and the $1,400 stimulus payments started going out soon afterward, many of them via direct deposit into recipients' bank accounts. Soon afterward, some cryptocurrency traders began to speculate whether some of that money might be used to buy Bitcoin. Mizuho Securities, a Japanese brokerage firm, estimated that $40 billion of stimulus checks could be spent on Bitcoin and stocks, according to a survey published on March 15. As recently as late last month, no cryptocurrency exchanges reported any major bump in $1,400 purchases, based on an informal survey by CoinDesk. Industry executives cautioned that it might be too early to judge. Now, those purchases do appear to be happening, according to some firms, even if they're not the tsunami that some Bitcoin bulls might have expected. We have seen a significant number of deposits in the amount of the latest individual stimulus check, Steve Ehrlich, CEO of U.S. cryptocurrency brokerage Voyager Digital, told CoinDesk in an email sent by a spokesperson. Kraken, a San Francisco-based exchange, has seen an uptick that may well stem from U.S. stimulus checks, according to Thomas Perfumo, the company's head of business operations and strategy. But the rise in $1,400 stimmy deposits hasn't been enough to bid up Bitcoin. Over the past month, BTC has struggled to decisively break above $60,000 amid sluggish trading activity. Slowing volume is typical of a consolidation phase in price action, diverging from the BTC price uptrend seen earlier in the year. Traders could be waiting to accumulate BTC at lower support levels, especially given the near twofold price increase this year. We expect weak BTC support around $56,000 down to $52,000, and stronger BTC support starting at $44,000 down to $42,000, wrote Justin Chu, senior trader at Wave Financial, a digital asset investment fund. BTC resistance remains at $60,000. Retail traders aren't the only ones on standby. Institutional demand is also slowing. The drop-off in volume has been more related to institutional volume going down, especially with the decline in futures market volatility, said Hunter Murghart, head of U.S. operations at Bitstamp, a cryptocurrency exchange based in Luxembourg. We're seeing new institutions coming on board from traditional finance backgrounds, ramping up deposits on the platform, Murghart said. These are buy-and-hold clients, unlike prop shops in 2017. Retail accounts make up about 80% of deposits on Bitstamp. The company experienced growth in retail deposits under $2,000 over the past month when U.S. stimulus checks were issued, Murghart told CoinDesk during a phone interview. Robinhood, an online brokerage app, said Thursday that 9.5 million customers traded cryptocurrencies during the first 3 months of the year, up from 1.7 million in the fourth quarter of 2020. There just wasn't much of a Bitcoin stimulus. I wasn't expecting stimmies to pump Bitcoin, said Greenspan, of Quantum Economics. There are much bigger players in the market now. How a dual double-entry blockchain could unite digital and physical assets. The idea is to make real-world assets, not just digital currencies, tradable via blockchain. Zenodo, which includes both the Zenodo Data Protocol and the Zenodo Network Protocol, has raised $10.7 million in its seed round to pursue solving what it calls the data problem. The data problem, according to Zenodo, is simultaneously simple and complex. Data contains two main qualities: the ability to contain information and value. That value can be derived contractually, economically, socially, or legally. Think about the ways that, for example, a land deed is essentially a collection of data that holds value because of the asset with which it's associated. Alternatively, think of the ways that your personal data, when aggregated with millions of other people, drives value for social media companies who use it to attract advertising revenue. While machines can operate on information through logic and maths, they cannot preserve or describe value. This is the data problem, said Andrew Kessler, CTO and co-founder of Zenodo. Zenodo converts any form of data or digital content into smart data, a rival and excludable digital asset that is truly unique and can be owned. This ownership gives the smart data value, and gives the owner the rights and control over their smart data asset, something that was previously unattainable. Zenodo has been in development since 2015 and mined its Genesis block in early March 2021. There is another funding round planned for the coming months, in advance of its forthcoming initial coin offering. The idea is to make real-world assets, not just digital currencies, tradable via blockchain. Zenodo's dual double-entry blockchain. The Zenodo digital system is made up of the Zenodo Data Protocol, which converts any type of data into smart data, and the Zenodo Network Protocol, the proof-of-work, dual double-entry blockchain on which transactions are executed. A dual double-entry blockchain is an accounting system Zenodo has built where the seller pledges to the network a real asset, a file secured by the Zenodo Data Protocol, and the buyer pledges some native tokens. This is to correct what the project says are some of the failings of single-entry blockchain ledgers. Kessler points to the shortcomings of non-fungible tokens, for example, rug pull scams in which people have changed the JPEG associated with an NFT even after purchase. All the NFT does is point to a file somewhere on the internet, which can be changed or even deleted. This is because single-entry blockchain ledgers distribute tokens over their network, not the assets themselves. Asset distribution happens off-chain in the real world, internet, far beyond the reach of token-based blockchains, said Kessler. This allows for crypto payment to be triggered without concomitant asset distribution. In Zenodo's dual double-entry blockchain ledger, if the network protocol can authenticate both halves of the trade, the transaction is packaged into a block where the data asset and the tokens used to pay for the asset are exchanged between two wallets simultaneously. Kessler said if any error were to occur, the trade would roll back to the seller, who then holds onto their provably scarce file, while the buyer holds onto their token amount. The benefits of the dual double entry are both for the seller and for the buyer. In traditional single entry ledgers, the ledger favors the seller, he said. Furthermore, the folding of sell requests and buy requests into dual double entries allows for programmable service levels and governance without control and pricing, the cornerstone of any capital market. Smart data versus the data problem. When thinking of most tech, analogies help. For example, according to Kessler, there is a big gap between using fingerprint evidence in a court case versus blood DNA evidence. While someone's fingerprint may be publicly accessible, their blood is not. Current attempts to use hashes, file fingerprints, to link off-chain files to on-chain hashes, or any fingerprinting technology, have several technical difficulties making them undesirable, said Kessler. Smart data uses the idea that a file's binary DNA both builds the file content and also identifies the file uniquely. This creates a stronger relationship between what's recorded on the ledger and what's happening in the real world. potentially allowing a synchronized off-chain world governed by on-chain parameters. Kessler also said there are other benefits that accrue with smart data. One is privacy. Existing hashes can be reverse searched given enough computing power, meaning with enough time you could find what file exists beyond the ledger. Our file DNA approach guarantees that it is impossible to learn anything about the off-chain file's DNA by studying the on-chain entry, Kessler said. But when the file is willingly handed over by the owner for inspection, it can be proven 100% to be the owner's digital property and the correct file referenced by the ledger. A second benefit is that smart data signatures are modular. In standard, hash-based, data signature schemes, the validator learns the signer's identity, the file's integrity and the file content, message, all at the same time, otherwise none of the above can be verified. The modular nature of the smart data signing scheme allows a recipient to establish the owner's identity independently of the file's content or integrity if the owner wishes their identity to become known, said Kessler. Same for independently establishing integrity and accessing file content. Finally, smart data is for files, not just smart contracts, which Kessler refers to as applications. Bad data can track a smart contract. Kessler said the lack of a data oracle means automated smart contract deployment is hindered. But if the smart data is smart, even dumb applications can act intelligently, he said. For enterprise, this is a big deal. Integrating smart data is as simple as setting the storage format. Enterprise's application layer needs no upgrading or amendments. A statement announcing the funding round said Zenoda would continue to scale up its operations, focusing on the further development and testing of its technology while also connecting with its burgeoning mining community. It will also finalize its advisory board and strategic partnerships. Zenoda's native token is the Zeno, which will be used to purchase smart data and provide the gas for smart data contracts. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.